What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, the daily show here at Chop Studios. Your host, Sturch, and Gooch over there. AJ Bascone, our elite producer of the show, is also here in the house. Gooch, how we feeling?
Feeling good, baby.
You got the one. Feeling good. It's there. It's all done.
Rough sledding early.
I said for the sake of this podcast, the Packers need to win this game.
Be a fly on the wall in that locker room last night at halftime.
I mean, look, the Lions, they came to play, I guess, but then it's like their true colors showed, and like Rodgers was like, I feel like he was toying with them at some point.
Are you trying to give the Lions a moral victory?
I am not giving the Lions a moral victory.
Riddick was giving the Lions a moral victory.
Well, that's why I don't listen.
How hard they were fighting. They got their shit beat out of them.
That's why I don't listen to them anymore. They've lost my complete viewership. I'm officially over to the Peyton and Eli show where they have guests the entire time. They're bullshitting. You're still watching the game of football. Peyton Manning's breaking it down. Eli's making jokes. By the way, shout out to Eli Manning. Yesterday, he made a joke yesterday saying they were talking about the Super Bowl that the Patriots play the Giants in, right, in Indianapolis. So Eli simply asked him, hey, you know, when you returned for the next year, did you guys did you sweep the arena? Did you make sure there was no wires or bugs or taps or cameras anywhere? Like, literally calling out the Patriots on Spygate. And then Peyton said, listen, whenever I have conversations with my guys that year, the following year, I would always make sure it's, in the shower where there's no other, it's just over to the side.
I saw that almost immediately. That was,
hilarious.
Or an update I got on my phone. I was like, I didn't need to know this in the middle of a...
I know. Well, you don't.
14-7, and I get an update talking about Peyton Manning and Eli's jokes. I think this isn't funny right now.
I think it's a really good for the not even the casual football fan, because I'm learning. Me and you and AJ,
they got guys like Pat McAfee coming on, then I'm there for it. But right. I didn't need
and the, you should have saw the bullets of sweat dripping down McAfee's face when they were almost about
there
to
was
back
a little
door
backdoor
cover,
cover action
almost. And I'm like, oh my god. Oh, but anyway, the Packers get it done. They get it done handedly after a little while of struggle, not struggling, but just not the gas wasn't all the way down.
I've done this before on the podcast. I compare it to the great white hype.
Trying to embarrass me on national TV?
You trying to embarrass me on motherfucking national TV? I don't think so.
Absolutely not. But anyways, massive, massive game out of Aaron Rodgers, as expected. He throws for 255 and 4 touchdowns, as we show you our top performers from last night. You know, AJ's on top of the graphics, but at any rate, you see that Aaron Jones only had 67 rushing yards with a touchdown. Yeah, my man caught 3 touchdowns. So Aaron Jones is that dude, right? And we all kind of knew that already, but this one solidifies it, and then the post-game interview really solidifies it for me.
Shout out to I guess the stat keepers that gave Rodgers that touchdown pass, because that was definitely a handoff on the
No. He let it go a little bit.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like that rule. Peyton Manning loves it.
It actually moved me from 0-6 in fantasy to 1-5.
Oh, good.
Because I got a dub last night late with the Tanya and Tutty.
So you went 1-5 last night?
I went 1-5 in
fantasy. I went 2-1. AJ, how'd you do, bro?
I got to be honest. I think it was 2-5 week for me.
Seven fantasy football weeks. You guys are out.
We're in lockstep with our picks and a lot of our fantasy guys in the offseason.
How do you do it?
It's been a horrible season so far.
Well, first of all, AJ, I will give kudos where kudos is due. Is it lonely at the top? Because I feel lonely. Me and you are 2-0 in the Chop Sports Fantasy League, my man.
I mean, I don't know. All I know is the Scousers didn't have a good week this week at all whatsoever, but we're able to pull it off over whoever the hell that guy is.
Bro, I've got... I'm 0-2. Whoever the hell that guy is. In the 16-man, but I've lost 2 games by a combined less than 4 points.
That's tough sledding
over there.
That is 16, tough sledding.
I'm at the bottom of the basement. I'm all the way down in 16th place right now.
Sticking with the Packers for just a second before we get into your waiver wire pickups for you and AJ just to debate over. I will ask you this. Now, the Lions did move the ball in the first quarter, passing, running, everything. Are you at all concerned about, I know you got guys coming back, but are you at all concerned about this defense kind of giving up big chunks?
Yes.
You are. Okay.
Yes. Anytime you see a team that doesn't have the talent the Lions have move the ball the way they did, especially the way Green Bay coming into the game, you would expect them to be a little more, there to be a little more urgency for the Packers because of the way week one went.
Right.
I was definitely disappointed. The first drive, I always give the pass because the scripted plays nonsense that the NFL coaches do. So 7-0, I wasn't really concerned, but the way they were able to move the ball and the Packers weren't able to get to the quarterback, I think obviously, like you said, they're getting they're getting some guys back. So Darius Smith being out, he's out a couple more weeks. There's some tough tests ahead with that defense, but yeah, of course I'm concerned. Detroit moved the ball on us in the first half easily.
I mean, look, you have to credit the coaching staff for your second half adjustments and literally not giving up pretty much anything in the second half, causing turnovers. Jared Goff, my God, man. Like, every time you want to think that, like, there's some promise for this kid, there's a momentum killers. He turns the ball over, he fumbles, he falls down over himself, he throws an interception, and, like, and the Packers defense didn't look good, but then at the end, like when the turnovers started filing in, you know, that's what ultimately gets done.
The second half, the Packers defense played a lot better, obviously. They made the one key adjustment that I saw them make was they moved Kevin King to the slot and put Stokes on the outside. Shout out to Eric Stokes.
Stokes is your rookie, right? Yeah, your number one pick.
Jersey without watching him play a game because kind of that's what
it's
I
all right.
do.
That's what I do with, Parsons. Yeah, that's cool.
But I'm happy about the way he showed up in the second half. The defense showed up. They had a big fourth down stop. I don't know what the Lions were calling on that play. They were running the ball fairly well against us, and they just decided to stop on fourth and inches. That's not really indicative. That's not really the style that you would expect a Dan Campbell coach team to take on a fourth and one. So I
mean, do we really know what a Dan Campbell style coaching is?
Yeah, talking about biting kneecaps, scratching and clawing ankles, and whatever the fuck he was saying in his whacked out press conference. You would expect them to just pound the rock. The way Jamal Williams was getting going, he was playing inspired yesterday.
Yeah, of course, this is his old team. Yeah,
on fourth and one, guess who's getting the ball? That guy, because he was running hard. He played well. Swift really was a no-show yesterday, but the Jamal Williams, man, he looks like he's RB1 in Detroit. I know Swift was getting a lot of the two-minute drill, but just by the way he runs and looking at he's a more downhill runner. Swift is taking too many. I wouldn't say he's dancing around, but. Mm-hmm. He jukes around too much in the backfield.
Yeah, I used to say that about Emmett in his later days. Like, he was too east and west, not enough north. I say, yeah, anybody who always makes that mistake saying, like, not enough north and south, like, why would you want your running back to go south? So it's like east and west, a little too shifty. Don't get too cute. Just run. Just run. But look, the Packers get a win. They got a big game coming up next week in primetime again. We'll talk about that on Friday when we preview all the games. It is the San Francisco 49ers who are coming off a win over the Philadelphia Eagles. And as far as the Lions are concerned, we'll go over to overreactions in a little bit. But, you know, they got Baltimore coming up. So it's like it doesn't get any easier for the Lions. We'll talk about that as well. But look, I pulled one out of my ass last night because of my boy Robert Tonyan scoring a touchdown with the Packers. I know my brother is probably in full-blown sell mode right now. That's how he gets. And he's got guys like Gibson and Jonathan Taylor. And
if you're in that league, buy low on Antonio
Gibson.
That's
what I'm saying. I said to him last night, he fell asleep because he goes, you know, he goes to sleep, wakes up really early for work. So I know he fell asleep because he's got his reds on. You know, so I know he's not answering me or he's just pissed. And then I told him, I'm like, do me a favor. I was like, good game, bro. Because I don't like playing my dad and my brother. This is not my, I know some people are like, I can't wait to beat my brother or beat my dad. Like, nah, I don't like it. I like for all the Sturgios to flourish in fantasy football. But anyway, I was like, do me a favor. Don't sell your team. I was like, you're going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. And of course, my boy Greg, who I play this week in my league, he's the kind of guy to make that trade.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Well, that maybe is sort of like he's caught on a little bit, but based off his draft, everybody's like, what? You know, but he's always that trade target guy that will make those trades. He traded me Diggs. So now I'm playing him, and my brother, like, what if my brother gives him Gibson? Like, I don't want to deal with that. You know what I'm saying?
So for the six people that are in Dave's league listening to this podcast,
12
right
people,
now,
thank you very much.
Enjoy that last little 4-minute segment. If you have any questions about why the Diggs trade went down, I'm here to answer any and all questions. I have a behind the scenes.
You do have a behind the scenes look. So we will get into it. It's fantasy time. Listen, this is the Tuesday is the day everybody scrambles their computer. And then if you're a real psychopath, like Gucci said last week to me off air, he said, real ones set their alarms for like 4 a.m. to see if they got the waiver processed or whatever. But there are waivers that are about to happen. One can say that not a lot of guys really jumped off the charts last night, but you did your deep dive. You have somebody. Let's get into that. So we start with quarterbacks. Tell me who you're adding and why they're still available.
Okay,
right now.
So yeah, well, they're still available, these guys, because quarterback position in most fantasy leagues is really, you only need one. So you're going to have a bunch of guys available on the bench. But This list hasn't changed much from last week. There's only one new addition and one guy removed. Obviously, Jameis is gone. I wouldn't say that you could sell on Jameis at this point, but he's the type of guy that maybe you might see him bounce in and out of the free agent pool. So you'll have a chance at him at any given time. Pretty much the same with all these guys. I think Derek Carr, at one point or another, maybe starting this week, should stick around on pretty much all rosters. If he's available in your league and you're looking for a backup.
You think he's going to sling going forward no matter what?
If you're
going
to roster two quarterbacks, Derek Carr is definitely – he leads the NFL in passing yards right now.
He does. And that he does.
It's against, I guess you could say, two solid defenses. I know TJ Watt left the game early, but pretty much these quarterbacks – look, Sam Darnold, he's lighting it up. Teddy Bridgewater's lighting it up. Jared Goff, the game script, is always going to be him throwing the ball in the second half. And Daniel Jones gets it done with his legs. If you look at the, I guess, like 80% of quarterbacks that finished in the top 10 of the last 4 years, they all have at least 200 or 300 rushing yards in a season. So Daniel Jones, obviously, he's getting it done with his legs. So
I will add to your Daniel Jones. They got Atlanta this week. So
exactly.
That's a matchup.
That's the reason why I moved Daniel Jones all the way up to number two, is because this week, you look what Atlanta's given up in the past 2 weeks. I think they've given up 9 touchdown passes in 2 weeks and a whole ton of yards. So
Teddy Bridgewater got the Jets. So there's some juicy matchups.
If you're in a position where you're looking for a quarterback right now,
if you lost your Tua,
you better have a starter. But maybe if you're looking at certain matchups that are tough, if you're playing the Rams and you're like, you know,
Brady's playing the Rams.
If you were starting a Tua, you already lost your league. You have no clue what you're doing.
Jimmy Palumbo.
Well, you didn't necessarily lose your league if you were starting a Tua, because you could end up getting a Derek Carr type and saving your league, but you better get him now because he's not going to be available.
Correct. Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you had the mindset.
Exactly.
It was at okay if it was Tua.
Yeah, unless you're in a, I agree with you.
20-man league.
Right, or 16-man for that matter.
Like, just never. Anyways, let's go to the RBs. Yeah, but even
RBs with my guy headlining that list. And let me tell you something right now. There is a – it should not be a debate. It's a nice little compliment, but thank you for putting my boy, Playmaker TP, at the top.
Well, Tony Pollard should not be available in any leagues, in any – I don't care what – how many man league you're in. Tony Pollard, if you're a Zeke owner, it should be a travesty that Tony Pollard's out there. That said, he has standalone value on his own. We've seen that the last 2 weeks. He's almost as involved in the offense as Zeke, and one could argue that he's a little more involved, depending on the game script. So Tony Pollard, 49% of leagues. He's only had in 49% of leagues, so he just makes the cutoff to be on the waiver wire list. So definitely, if Tony Pollard is there, you want to add Tony Pollard.
So your cutoff is 50 or below?
You have to be available in 50% of leagues. That's just, I guess, the standard cutoff.
Okay,
I don't know if I'm stealing that from ESPN or what.
But I mean, to even build on that Tony Pollard argument, Tony Pollard is averaging double the yards per carry that Zeke Elliott this season.
While I understand that there's a lot of, you know, the Cowboys Twitter is a very dangerous
up for Zeke right now.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I'll say about Ezekiel Elliott. You know, Cowboys Twitter is a dangerous place to be, you know, because there's a lot of Cowboys fans that are like just super overcritical, and then they jump to conclusions and this, that, and the third. I'm one of those guys sometimes, right? But like when it comes to Zeke and Pollard, that split is going to be that split. Zeke Elliott is going to get his carries. It's just a matter of what he does with his carries. We know what Pollard's going to do with his carries. He's slick. He's a little bit more elusive. He's quicker.
I think Tony Pollard has a lot more burst right now.
Absolutely.
And
I think so too.
In situations, he's just a better runner. I wouldn't say he's hard, but I think he's at this point in his career, less mileage.
My old school Cowboy fans will know this reference. This is Marion Barber and Felix Jones upgraded. Marion Barber used to wear down defenses with his hard nose style running. And though his numbers weren't always flashy, he wore down defenses. And then all of a sudden, Felix Jones would come in there.
1% of leagues that Zeke's available, guys, definitely go add Zeke because he's available in 1% of leagues.
Yeah, so definitely add Zeke if you're. Zeke might not be RB1 when it comes to fantasy stats this year because of this, but I'm for it. As a Cowboy fan, you're for a complimentary back. Think of like Thunder and Lightning back when like Ron Dane or Brandon Jacobs.
So like I said, add Zeke in all fantasy leagues if he's available.
All right, jerk off. Who's next? Service Team of Professionals, aka Stop Restoration of Edison, is a locally owned and operated business that provides professional disaster cleaning and restoration services, including a 24-hour emergency service to homeowners, property managers, real estate investors, and insurance companies alike. Stop Restoration helps people overcome the stress and anxiety of unforeseen circumstances caused by fire, smoke, water, mold, and other unexpected damages. As part of a nationally recognized restoration franchise, Stop Restoration of Edison is backed by the best technical advisors and business consultants in the country. Visit them right now online at www.stop-edison.com.
Who's next? We're going down the list. Another guy that probably should not be on this list, but he makes the cutoff at 48% of leagues that he's owned in. J.D. McKissic. Now, this guy has been a thorn in my side for the first 2 weeks because he's stealing all of Antonio Gibson's burn.
Yep.
That said, he is stealing all of Antonio Gibson's burn. So in the meantime, until things change over in Washington, you got to add J.D. McKissic. He's getting as many targets as a lot of wideouts in the league, and he even got a late goal line He got a goal line touchdown in a spot that you would definitely expect to see Antonio Gibson. Now, this doesn't mean that you should be selling on Antonio Gibson, people. He still ran the most routes in his entire career last week. So last week he ran 22 routes on plays that he was in the game, and he's averaging almost 6 yards a carry this season. So definitely don't give up on him, but add McKissic if he's available in all leagues. Double add him if you own Antonio Gibson. Next, Cordarrelle Patterson. Obviously, if you guys watched the Tampa Bay Atlanta game, Cordarrelle Patterson was all over the place. He's eligible at receiver and running back. He's literally the ultimate flex guy. He's a guy that always has.
What's he listed at? Running back?
Both.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes. He's multiple position eligibility. So that's a little bit bonus. Obviously, you're used to that fantasy baseball players. You get that a lot, but even basketball, but football, that's a very rare thing.
That's cool.
So, Cordarrelle Patterson, I wouldn't really burn a high waiver priority on Cordarrelle because of the guys that are available at other positions. But if you're stuck down there, maybe you use your second waiver on him, you could probably land a guy like that and be able to spot start him when needed.
And coming in at 4 and 5, you are giving a little bit of advice.
Yes, it's handcuff your backs or regret it later, 100%. For reasons I stated earlier, like Tony Pollard, how has he not had? Imagine drafting Zeke, watching the Cowboys games, seeing Tony Pollard and being like, damn, he's a free agent. But I only have the 9th waiver priority, so I'm not going to get him. You should have Tony Pollard on your team already.
He should have been drafted.
This goes for David Montgomery owners. You got to grab Damian Williams. This goes across the board. If you have a spot in your league, 100% add your handcuffs. And as soon as bye weeks end and you have the roster spots, definitely go after your handcuffs even more so then.
Well, I have a good question for you, Mr. Gucci. So I'm an Antonio Gibson owner, as you know, in a 14-man league. I have the 3 waiver priority this week. Now, there are a bunch of wide receivers that I could use as I have Jerry Jeudy out, Michael Thomas out, and losing Gus Edwards in the beginning of the season hasn't helped my running back situation either. Do you use the 3 waiver on McKissic to guarantee that you have a backup in Gibson?
See, this is interesting. This is one of those situations where... With your team, if you have a bigger need at wideout, you want to maybe go there. And I know that McKissic, he has standalone value, but he's a little bit less of a handcuff to me than your typical handcuff because he's not ever going to be that traditional first and second down back. So if Antonio Gibson gets hurt, they're almost more likely to use whoever that third guy is on the roster. Jarrett Patterson might step into a little more early down work, and they keep McKissic in the same role because there's no reason to turn the offense completely upside down. McKissic knows
it's a very good point.
And Jarrett Patterson steps in. So a lot of people, if Antonio Gibson, knock on wood, ever does go down, McKissic will be the hot guy to pick up. But potentially that Jarrett Patterson is the real ad there. So we'll see how that plays out. God forbid Antonio Gibson.
I was going to say, this guy loses another running back, he's going to jump out of the freaking second story building. All right, moving on over to the wide receivers. What do we got here? Somebody I added and dropped, did not keep him. I kind of regret it because I know he's probably going to go right now. Like whoever has first waiver priority, this kid is for real. And we're talking about Rondell Moore.
Yeah, Rondell Moore. You saw 2 weeks in a row what he could do with the ball in space. He's got wheels. He's quick. He's fast and quick, almost like a Tyreek Hill, where it's like you could see these guys that are very elusive and they don't really have that acceleration. He's got both. Steal for that team, man. What a steal for that team.
Now, I beg the question, since we're on Rondell Moore, I have Elijah Moore. Are you willing to give up on Elijah Moore to get a Rondell Moore?
Absolutely.
100%. Yeah. Okay. 100%. Then I might go ahead and go and do that.
Elijah Moore, I'm not saying give up on Elijah Moore in certain
or at least
leagues,
replace.
Yeah. But if you're looking at where do you rank these guys, it's not close right now. I think Rondell Moore is projected to get like 13 points a week or this week in PPR. Elijah Moore is hovering around like 7. And I know that really doesn't mean much, but judging by the way the Jets' usage of Elijah Moore last week in a game where they really had no active wideouts, he still had 4 catches, but you want to see more out of a guy. What you're seeing out of Rondell Moore is literally more.
Here's a deep dive here. Number 2% owned. You're all over KJ Osborne.
This is one of those things where I completely missed the ball on this one, and I came in and me and AJ had a conversation. So I'll give this one to AJ because fuck the Vikings, and AJ was the one that brought it up to me so he could have this shine.
Yeah, what do we know about KJ Osborne there?
So I actually know quite a bit about KJ Osborne because he was a Miami Hurricane, and he tore it up in college. I've been watching him for quite a bit. I knew that on this Vikings depth chart, he would get an opportunity. I thought D.D. Westbrook would be the solid wide receiver three, but it's K.J. Osborne, and the thing that we can't ignore right now is that this man has more catches than Justin Jefferson. You heard that right. He has 12 complete, receptions on the year, 15 targets. That's third most on the team, and he's also the most efficient target that Kirk Cousins is throwing to. 80% of those passes get completed, and he's been on a tear out of the slot right now. I think he's a guy that should definitely be picked up.
And you know what? The Vikings are 0-2 right now, so I want to say that they're going to be pass-heavy going
forward.
Guess
who they face this week?
The New York football. Nope.
Seattle
Seahawks defense, which just gave up a plethora of running and passing yards to the Tennessee Titans. So who's next? Zach Pascal. How is he? I figured like he was going to get owned last week. He's still nobody kind of
killing it out the slot.
Zach Pascal, touchdown.
Touchdown every week. Right.
I'm a little apprehensive in this one. I have him ranked third. You could have switched him and Tim Patrick easily because you know, they're very similar in that they're going to do around the same thing for you. Zach Pascal, he's been touchdown dependent. If you take away his touchdowns, he still is fairly productive, though. So his points are there. The problem with him is we don't know what's going on at the quarterback position. And if it's Jacob Eason, I don't really trust many of the
coaches. Maybe he's got more reps with this kid.
But Zach Pascal, he looks to be a legit NFL receiver to this point. So definitely Zach Pascal, if he's available and you have room, add that guy. Tim Patrick. Now, this guy, he's averaging a little over a touchdown.
I had him on my bench. That was rough.
He's playing. So Tim Patrick, shout out to this guy, right? Mm. Jerry Jeudy owners out there, if you didn't pick him up last week, because not many did, he only shot up about 8% in ownership percentage. So go after Tim Patrick. And this little tidbit that I'm dropping on you guys is a little bit of a reach at this point, but I guarantee you, after next week, his own percentage is going to shoot up, and he's going to be the hot waiver pickup because there's a lot of unknowns surrounding him, but he's one of the better route runners of the rookie class. At least that's what the scouting reports say. So Rashad Bateman, Baltimore offense is looking good considering they don't really have the weapons. This is the guy that they took in the first round for all the issues that they've had over the first two seasons. So you would imagine that they're looking to get him involved as soon as he's ready to go. Hopefully he's back from his injury. I don't think they're going to rush things. So when he's back around week 4 or 5, he's going to be a guy that you're definitely going to want to
add. So if you got room on your bench,
so get ahead of the game.
Get ahead of it.
Think ahead. Plan ahead. The same reason why you want to handcuff your backs, you go after a guy like Bateman, because at this point in the season, you want to look for value anywhere you could get it. And if he's available in 91% of leagues, there's potentially some value there.
All right. And shout out to, I'll go to bat for AJ here as Scoop chimes in. The you sucks in the NFL garbage. Well, guess what? There's a man by the name of Michael Irvin. He didn't suck so bad. He went to the you. Shut your mouth, Scoop. Enough with the you hatred over here. KJ Osborne, obviously, has something to offer fantasy football owners. So
I could rattle off a list of 25 NFL players that went to the U and are going to be in the Hall of Fame or in it.
Ray Lewis. Who else we got?
Frank Gore. Edgerrin James. Frank Gore. What is it? What the hell is that guy's name? Clinton Portis and somebody else.
They're not going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Sean Taylor? Lewis
won't be.
You? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Yeah. I mean, come on. Scoop. Look, terrible take, Scoop. Terrible take. The U sucks in college football. Now he's all clearing it up now. Great.
That one Miami team had like 11 running backs that had 1,000 yards.
Right. So, all right, week 2 comes and goes. What do we got as far as standings are concerned because of our picks? This is where we decide.
All right, I'm gonna head out.
Yeah, the Gooch is going to head out as he has started at the cellar right now. He is in the basement. He went 5-11 this week against the number. Remember, it's very easy to pick winners and losers, okay? It is hard as shit to pick against the spread. I'm sorry. There's no such thing as a professional gambler unless you're the sauce.
I promise you this week I am going to actually.
You're going to come out of the cell. All right, so 5-11, 10-21-1 on the year. Second place, Big Body Bascon went 5-11 as well. He's now 12-20. Yours truly, back-to-back weeks with 7-9 picks, 14-18. I am in first place.
I am down heavy units. If we were betting, and I'm down some units anyway.
Actually,
I am betting
14-18. How is I'm trying to think. Oh, 10, 21.
That's
32. 32. Yeah. Wow. All right. So despite the, I only picked up two games. So that's why I'm sitting like, well, I should be up more games, but I'm not because I didn't like 7-9 isn't that, is the, it'll win the NFC East, but it won't win the picks. So if you're looking to bet with your team, with us, make sure you go over to BetMGM. There's a code at the top of the Facebook group. There's also, if you go to chopsportsmedia.com, it's literally right at the top. Click on it. Risk-free bet, $1,000 up to $1,000 and cash in
clearly
now.
When he says bet with us, yeah. A, we are not holding bets, and B, definitely don't take
I was
going to
say, fade the living shit out of us.
Fade the entire Chop Sports staff here and then go talk to the Sauce because he's 12-4 in both
weeks.
It looks
like I went on YouTube and I watched all the Sauce's videos and took the exact opposite of his pick.
You faded the Sauce.
It's like I have this guy that I talk to all the time that picks good. He's really good at picking NFL games and somehow I'm losing money.
Right.
That
right.
is the story of my life.
That is the story of your life. So, hey, look, week two is coming on. I can't believe already we're on week three. I'm almost going to say that every week. Like, I can't believe we're on the next week already. But we are on to week three. And I will say there is time now to overreact. And there's a lot of overreactions to a lot of the things that are happening in NFL. In the NFL, there are winless teams still. There are teams still without wins. There they are on your screen. They are the New York Jets. They're the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Detroit Lions, the Atlanta Falcons, the, surprisingly, Indianapolis Colts, the Minnesota Vikings lost on a last-second missed field goal, and, of course, the New York Football Giants. So shout-out to New York Football for really bringing home this season so far as they combine for 0-4. But I will say this. Now, if you're looking at this I'll give the opponents, Gooch, and then maybe you can chime in with this, and we'll talk about it more on Friday when we preview the games. But which team gets off the schneid? I'm going to start with the Jets. Just say quick reactions. You don't have to make your pick. It's like a yes or no. They have a chance. The Jets at the Broncos, 2-0.
No, not no. The way all right, the Broncos so
we'll, again, we'll
not
just
a chance.
Fast rattle. The Jags, they're home against the 2-0 Cardinals.
Not
no.
a chance.
So they might go 0-3. The Lions, they're home against the Baltimore Ravens.
Not a chance.
This is crazy, right? So all these teams. The Colts, here's the big one. The Colts are going at Tennessee. That's the game of the week right now as far as I'm concerned. With their first meeting of the season, we're going to find out just exactly what these guys got going on. Because the Colts may be without, well, they're probably going to be without Carson Wentz, who, by the way, is a legend. Because I didn't know you were even capable of spraining two ankles. not just one, both ankles. Carson Wentz out in, I can't say indefinitely. You never know with these guys. But they're going to struggle. And then you look at the New York Football Giants. So here's where I used to say with Chop Sports. Ready? Remember when we had the softball team? We started off 0-6, whatever it was, 0-6, 0-4, whatever. And we played another 0-6 team. Guess what? Somebody's 0 has got to go. The Giants play the Falcons. So somebody's getting their first win, unless they tie, which is god-awful. But that's a game to monitor because somebody's got to get their first win. The Vikings are they're hosting Seattle. So that's another iffy, we'll see game, but like if I'm looking at these 0-2 teams right now in the NFL, to me, the ones that worry me the most are the Jaguars and the Lions.
Well, all those teams are shit.
See, basically, but Indianapolis, it's very weird for me. Like, I don't
team,
know if
that team, I mean, they played hard against the Rams and they do some things well, but right now, as long as Jacob Eason is under center, they're not going to do a goddamn thing in this league, period.
Well,
Kyle talking about how they're winning 10 games with me at quarterback. I can't even win a bet, let alone a game in the NFL. But, yeah, the Colts suck with no Wentz. The Vikings, I would think, are the best team on paper out of all these teams, and the Giants.
So what do you think about the Giants, though? I mean, like, Daniel Jones showed some flashes of goodness. Remember, right, AJ? We don't say greatness around here when it comes to Daniel Jones. But I will say that he played his better game in week two than he did week one. But now there's rumors coming out. Well, not rumors. Literally clarifying it up is Kenny Golladay said he was yelling at Jason Garrett this week. Like, how do you yell at your offensive coordinator? You've been there for a cup of coffee. You know, you can't, and I'm not talking about Garrett. I'm talking about Golladay being there. You know, and Galladay's a good player. Don't get me wrong. That's why he's there, and that's why they paid him the big bucks. But, are you worried about this Giants offense as a whole?
I'm worried about the Giants offense because their offensive line, it held up well last week against the football team. But, yeah, there's been the same issues that the Giants had. They still have. Saquon worries me because he just doesn't look like the player they drafted him to be. That offensive line is sketchy at best. They played out of their minds last week, so they got it done in that aspect, but they still managed to lose the game. So that's Giant football.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy into what the Giants are doing. Jason Garrett sucks. He's like Mike McCarthy, but just skinny.
I think
I'm not a Mike McCarthy fan.
Okay. Yeah,
so well, Galladay yelling at Jason Garrett. It's like, what took him so long? It took him 2 weeks. Are you serious?
Should have been yelling at him before. This is poetic. For me, the Giants fans complaining about Jason Garrett's play calling is like, it's music. It is literally like, I don't even know. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know that there was many Giant fans that were like clamoring for Jason Garrett to join the coaching staff.
Well, no. There was a lot of people saying like, well, he's a better offensive coordinator than he is a coach. And don't get me wrong. When he was the offensive coordinator for Dallas, he was actually one of the better offenses in the league.
I have an issue.
The problem is they had talent. The Giants lack. I'm sorry. Lack.
I don't mind my defensive coordinator on the sideline, but my offensive coordinator better be up fucking stairs.
You want him to go upstairs?
I want him upstairs.
You don't want to see him clapping? You want any of that crap?
Go in the booth and keep your mouth shut.
Well, he has to call the plays, so he has to talk a little bit. But Jason Garrett offense is it's alarming right now. I mean, but from worst to some of the guys that are doing the best right now, there are some undefeated teams. And I didn't like when Fox Sports did this on like, is your team undefeated? Like after week one. And I was like, dude, there's freaking 16 teams that are 1-0. Stop.
It's still fairly early to do
this. It is right. To do this is early, but it is Overreaction Tuesday as we head into week three. Now you have the Panthers. I'll rattle them off. The Panthers, the LA Rams, the Arizona Cardinals, the San Francisco 49ers, the Denver Broncos, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I look at this list and I say, okay, Tampa, LA, makes sense. They should be, right? The other teams, are any of these teams kind of jumping off the charts, like surprising you to be 2-0 right now? Besides, we've talked about the Raiders, obviously, in length, but... like, are you surprised that the Panthers are 2-0?
Not really, because the competition, the Saints are around the same kind of team that I believe the Panthers are. That's a winnable game for Carolina. Looking at the schedule, they play the Jets week one. So
right, okay. Nothing, so nothing the favorable schedule for the
so
Panthers.
So they won a tough game against New Orleans at home. Mm-hmm. So that's not anything crazy, but I'm not surprised by it.
No, we said that the Cardinals were going to, like, oof,
I wasn't expecting the Cardinals to play this well. Week one, they showed up against a team that I definitely had them losing, but Tennessee has a really bad defense, so it's understood.
San Fran, they get out of there. They get out of there out of Philly with a win.
Same. We all had San Fran 2-0 after 2 weeks, at least when we did our things. I was high on Philly going into this week, but am I surprised San Fran beat them? Absolutely not.
The Broncos? How about the AFC West? Shout out to the West.
That's what I'm saying. The Broncos and the Raiders being 2-0 is probably the most surprising thing to me. Although Denver also didn't really play anybody.
Giants, right? And then the friggin' Jaguars.
Yeah, so...
all right, everybody calm down here.
So it's 2-0. No, nothing really is jumping out at me. The Raiders being 2-0 is the story of the
NFL who they beat
so far. Because they beat the Ravens at home and then went into Pittsburgh and beat a tough defense. Even though Watt left the game early... shout out to the Raiders, because I've been saying it since Sunday that, yeah.
I didn't pull up. Shame on me. I didn't pull up their opponents coming up. But we do know the San Francisco 49ers play the Packers. That's in San Fran. We know Tampa Bay gets out there. They're just going to keep rolling, I think. The Raiders, I think we just talked about Miami. It earlier, Miami. And then the Arizona Cardinals, I believe, we just talked about them. They're playing the Jaguars. So chances are the Cardinals go 3-0, right? The Rams, I did talk about them before. I'm not sure if I wrote it down who the Rams got, but
they got the Bucks.
They do got the wow. All right, well there you go. That's you talk about a game of the week. LA Rams playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. One of those teams are going to be undefeated, and in a convincing way. Where if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win and they're 3-0, I think their road to 3-0 was a little bit more difficult than the LA Rams. Like they just got out of Dallas. Let's be honest. They just got out of that game. They beat up on the Falcons, and if they beat the Rams, the Bucs, you know, that's where we're going to start to kind of shift our focus. Like, the Bucs are that team.
I mean, right now, the Bucs are that team.
Right. So, I mean, it's just –
They won – they set an NFL record. They won 9 straight games, and they scored 30 or more points in all 9 of them, which is the most ever by a team.
So, I mean, those are your undefeated teams.
Go fuck yourself, Tom Brady. How is this even possible?
So, I do want to talk about this before we wrap today. Because it's Overreaction Tuesday, we're trying to throw some storylines in there. Not trying to. These are storylines that are made. They kind of wrote themselves, really. Individual players that are struggling out of the gate Is there a chance or time? I mean, yes, there's 15 games left for these guys to turn themselves around. But guys that like are starting to worry you a little bit, I start with Big Ben. Now, he played his first two games against the Bills and the Raiders. The Steelers are 1-1, but he just looks uncomfortable in the pocket after his first reads aren't there. Do you agree with this, Gooch? Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, Big Ben looks fat, out of shape, and way too old.
But I thought he was thin, according to Adam Schefter.
No, he's not. Big Ben.
He's skinny fat.
I'm not like more worried than I was going into the season. I didn't think Big Ben had what it took last year down the stretch, and it's already week two. It's only week two, and he's already looking like he looked around week 16 last year. I don't think
he looks beat up.
Season that offensive line is patchwork at best, and yeah, Big Ben is old and hobbled.
How do you feel over there, AJ, about Big Ben first 2 weeks?
Well, you know what, he gave up the porn. And, you know, he looks slim, but I think all the weight is.
But he gave
balls.
Up the what?
The porn.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, no, he said he was a struggling porn addict.
Shut up. Is that a thing?
I swear to God.
That's fantastic.
He's also a struggling
quarterback.
Rapist. Yeah.
Or that. We're going there. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, so I was just saying all the weight's in his balls because he doesn't.
All right, AJ, with the expertise coming in. All right, so yeah. After Big Ben, Daniel Jones. Now, I know he showed a little bit of something against the Washington football team, which is apparently a good serviceable defense right now off the rip. But that week one game against the Broncos, he looked like he was completely lost. Are you buying or selling the fact that Daniel Jones can lead this team to at least, look, the NFC East is the NFC East. So far, unless the Cowboys or somebody else separates themselves.
Yeah, they suck.
Are you worried? All right, yeah. Relax. Are you worried about Daniel Jones or are you in on
Daniel
Jones? NFC
North sucks too. So go ahead. Yes, and I am worried about Daniel Jones for the same reason.
Yeah, but you think you're like the elite. Well, like me, I say we should run away with the division. You just know it.
Well, I also admit that my division sucks.
All right. So Daniel Jones, what are we on with him? Going into week three, he's got Atlanta. Big prove it week for him. That's
honestly,
a bad
this
defense.
This week, I'm buying in on Daniel Jones. I don't know if
you just put him on your waiver wire thing. Yeah,
Daniel Jones this week, definitely add him. Fantasy football reasons, yeah, he's been a guy that throughout even all the struggles he's had, he manages to put up some splash games. So fantasy purposes, yeah, I buy Daniel Jones week-to-week basis. But do I buy him as a starter in the NFL to lead a team? I'm not so sure.
Not yet.
Look, I shouldn't say that. Coming off the best game I've ever watched Daniel Jones play, he made some good throws. Took care of the football, didn't make any bad choices. I was waiting all game for Daniel Jones to blow that
game. Did you have a prop bet on that or no? There was a prop bet, though, over under one turnover.
I was waiting all game for Daniel Jones to fuck that game up, and it wasn't his fault.
Correct.
They lost. So yeah, that's Daniel correct. Jones, you want to see him turn the corner for the Giant fans out there. I don't really care, but I don't buy it. Well, but at least he's heading in the right direction.
Zach Wilson's next on our list. I mean, look, first two, he hasn't thrown a touchdown yet.
He's thrown two touchdowns.
Really?
Both to Corey Davis.
Oh, then Duke Manu. Thank you, Duke, for putting up a thing today where he, like, you know, this is your future, and he, like, had no touchdowns. It must have been after week. I don't even know. Maybe it's probably just his week. Maybe last week's stat line. But anyway, he's thrown touchdowns, apparently, right? So I beg the question, and I said this yesterday, is this more like he needs these kind of shit games to get going, or is like a breakout game going to fix this kid right away? Like, he's got to get some swagger back, and he hasn't gotten that yet. And I looked at this kid as like not a Patrick Mahomes, you know what I'm saying? Like the swag, the look, the I got this, don't worry about it. And he hasn't really done it yet. Can he do it going forward in the NFL at the NFL level?
Yes, because it's week two.
Week three.
Of his rookie season. He's played two games as a rookie for a really bad football team. So is it over for him? No. If everybody's talking the way they're talking about Robert Saleh, 2 weeks is not enough time to
not enough sample
come
size.
Up with a verdict on whether Zach Wilson's going to make it in the NFL. He's, like I said, he's 12 years old. So give the guy a decade or two, and maybe he'll be something one day.
So no, in 2042.
This team is struggling. They didn't have the receivers this week. There's no real weapons for him. You could even say the same thing, like, all right, you know, the Jets are kicking themselves. Not really. You know, Zach Wilson could be an all-pro one day, and Sam Darnold might just be a regular guy that played a great game this week. But Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, everybody's talking like the Jets fucked up. Let's see what that Let's see how that plays out over the next
I think it's coming. There's a game on the schedule. I don't know where it's going to be, but there's a game where he's just going to ball out and people are going to be like, that's the future.
Let's think about going into the season, how all the hype was built around Zach Wilson. It wasn't because he was playing shitty in preseason. Now, I know it's preseason, but when you have a rookie quarterback, he was completing passes. He looked efficient. He looked a lot bigger than everybody thought he was, right? I told you.
Right.
You thought he was like 5'11". I was like, no, he's like 6'2", 6'3".
Right, he's a big dude.
6'3". He's going to fill out. He's a young kid. I think what
so you're saying he still needs to hit his growth spurt because he's so young.
Well, just in terms of filling out.
Yes, yes, right?
And even we're going to just skip ahead to Trevor Lawrence. Same deal.
Yeah.
You know, you could ask this, all the same questions and I'll come up with the same answers for all of them. These kids are young. Give them some time. I think because we've seen early success out of some of these quarterbacks recently where we expect now it's going to be the norm. That's not going to be the norm. Look at history in the NFL. It takes a while for these guys to get going. Even Peyton Manning, his rookie season, I think he set the original record for
interceptions in a year. Yeah.
This is one of the greatest of all time. Were people saying he was done? No.
Right. All right. And we'll end it with Jared Goff. After last night's performance against Green Bay, turning the ball over left and right, the Lions are 0-2. You want to talk about a guy who doesn't have anybody to throw to. You know, there was a couple guys where, you know, there were a couple missed throws away from making some elite plays. But overall, the Lions are just a who are you lineup. You know what I mean? And I feel like this is going to be the story all year round for these guys. And if the Baltimore Ravens ever needed a get right defensive game, this is it. You know what I mean? Coming up. So I'm worried about Jared Goff. I don't think he's very good. This is not like trying to knock his play. He's just not very good. And I think when you look at that Lions and Rams trade, like the Rams just completely, that's the heist of the century. You know, they got the better quarterback, not only better, but just like leaps and bounds better.
Yeah.
Like, how do you agree to that?
The semantics that led up to that trade makes it less of a heist because it was just a thing that was going to happen. So it wasn't like, you know, it was like they happened to be the team that gave up what Detroit wanted. So heist, yeah, I get it. They made out, but yeah, it looks to me like Detroit's going to be that get-right team for everybody because we needed it this week and we got it. Baltimore gets it next week. But Jared Goff, he put together a good second half in week one and he put together a good first half in week two. He's an accurate guy. He plays with confidence. He doesn't have the people around him to make him better. Hockenson is legit.
Yes.
I tell you. That guy runs a good route. He catches the ball well.
Rob Gronkowski was able to give a lot of nice words about him.
They got two good guys coming out of the backfield that could both catch the ball. So there is some saving grace, but the problem is going to be with Goff is that he's never going to really have success down the field because there's nobody that's going to stretch the defense. There's no real guy that could take the safety away.
Mm-hmm.
So as teams figure out the way this offense clicks and they start taking out Hockenson, someone's going to have to step up because they will take out Hockenson. And I think Jared Goff will be down in a lot of games. So for fantasy reasons, you might be able to get some decent splash out of him. And for the other reasons I mentioned, but man, Jared Goff was done as soon as they made that trade.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
That's unfortunate, but it is Overreaction Tuesday here. We hope you guys take our fantasy advice, at least maybe not so much the game picks, but we'll see about that as Gooch claims that he's going to really reinvent the wheel and try to get back on the saddle here for his picks on Friday. But I will say what?
Call Kyle.
I'm getting the VIP ticket, won't I? But if you guys want to do this a solid, be sure to support the entire network. Brand new shows dropped today. The Jimmy Palumbo Show is back, episode 28, which I know we didn't name it after Darren Woodson, so I'm very disappointed. Who did you use?
Who did I use?
CJ2K.
Yeah,
Chris Johnson. Okay, Chris Johnson. Okay, that's not bad. Not bad at all.
Also, because when Jimmy names the show, he doesn't say a name. He says 38 names, and he's like, but I'm going to go with this guy. So I'm like,
well. Oh, so he wants to show that he knows, quote, knows these guys,
so
but already
I,
has somebody
I,
in
when
mind.
When I do it, I have to do a little bit more of a deep dive. And
because you're looking at the same
picks
list.
An older, scummy, shitty player from usually the Giants, I'll take a guy that's newer and usually.
He didn't even pick Rodney Hampton last week, and I was disappointed in him. For episode 27,
or
I was
Brandon
like,
this Jacobs.
Or Jacobs, right. So it's like, whoa, how did you not do that? But anyway, go check out Jimmy Palumbo Show. He's got two shows on the network now between the Jimmy Palumbo Show and then What Happened to That Guy?
Do you remember that guy?
Do you remember that guy? I'm never going
to
get that right.
It's on the same feed. So if you're a subscription, if you're a subscriber to the Jimmy Palumbo Show, you are now also a subscriber to the
What happened to that guy? Do you remember that guy? And, one of those two. It's on the network, so we're glad to have his partner on board as well. Joe Matarese from, Pretender to Contender. There's a new episode out there right now. Go check that out. The Squeaky Bum Time Podcast. Our soccer boys actually met Mike Salerno for the first time yesterday. good human being, you know, like he's up from Florida. And he recorded here in the studio with his partner, Laurent. And they did some pretty cool breakdowns of some soccer this week. It's so weird because to me, soccer is like, I can get into it for the World Cup, which, by the way, 2026, New York, New Jersey, the Meadowlands are hosting the World Cup. Can you imagine the traffic that's going to be in this area in a couple of years? That's just...
I've never cared about anything less in my entire life.
Well, I'm...
In the 2000-whatever World Cup, honestly.
In any event, go download the podcast. But also, thank you guys for supporting us. And of course, remember, BetMGM... go make your bets for any sport, not just the NFL. Go bet on soccer. Go do that. There's a promo with us if you just click on the link that's on the website, chopsportsmedia.com. So for Sturch and Gooch and, of course, AJ behind the glass, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, and we'll be back tomorrow on a hump day, and we'll see you then.
The real question is, in a 16-man league, do you use the first waiver priority on a KJ Osborne?
Boy.